listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 177. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the... I never did come up with something creative.
See, I told you you would.
The full of coffee and vape, John Brownstone. This week, we're talking about kind of a heavy topic.
Yeah.
But it's something that's really common, so I think it's worth talking about. Mm. And that's navigating our fears in a DS relationship.
Clowns?
No, you've just scared somebody out
I'm
there.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's not nice. That's so not nice. No, not those kinds of fears. not our phobias. No, our really typical relationship fears.
Yes.
Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. And yes, those reviews work. I'm only asking for nice reviews. I mean, you are welcome to leave a not nice review, but I'm only asking for the nice ones. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I fucking hate, and I will always and forever hate it. LovingDS in the number one, LovingDS1. Y'all can hear why I hate that handle, I hope. It's not our name. It's some crap I had to do to get around Instagram's puritanical rules. Anyway, or you can follow us or subscribe to us actually on YouTube at youtube.com/lovingbdsm, where you can actually watch us live stream the podcast every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. Big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon, including our newest peeps. We see you, we love you, and we thank you for your support. If you'd like access to more content, to more of us, to more of this thing that we do, you can become one of our kinky patrons for as little as $1 a month. And when you are a patron, you get access to a live Q&A that we do every month through Patreon. And we do a bonus section every month where we talk about the business side of things, because, you know, our kinky patrons are like funding this business, so we give them the scoop. And then you get sneak peeks at videos, and then sometimes we just randomly chat, and you can ask us questions a little bit more easily. There's stuff. There's stuff is all I'm saying. As low as $1 per month. Just go to patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords. Or use the link in the show notes. I'd also like to make one more podcast-only announcement.
Okay.
It's very, very exciting. We're back on Spotify.
Yeah.
So if you have been listening to us on Spotify and then could not find us on Spotify, that was not us, y'all. Spotify. We're back. So feel free, if Spotify is your app of choice, to go find us there. I have not, as of the time of recording this, gone to find the link. I don't know if it's the same place we were at before or what. I got to go check that out. But a listener let me know on Twitter this week, and that was lovely, and I was so happy to hear it. So yes, go find us on Spotify.
Yay.
So relationship fears. I did a blog post today, the day of recording, Wednesday, about some top fears that are not unique to me, but they're all fears that I certainly went through. Fear of rejection, fear of not being good enough, fear of not being real. And when I say real, I mean, I don't mean that you think you're a figment of your imagination, but like, I'm not a real submissive. I'm not a real dominant. I'm not a, you know, whatever your kinky identity is, you're not real. And so I want to say first and foremost to my anxiety twinsies out there, it is not just those of us with anxiety who feel fear.
No.
I think that there are a lot of reasons to feel fear. There are a lot of reasons to feel fear, but I think that for, especially in a DS relationship, especially when you're new to DS, either with this partner or in general, it's fear of the unknown.
Sure. I think, you know, fear is a very common emotion, and you know, we feel it more than you might think.
And I think we also think it's a weakness of some sort to feel fear.
No,
which is
fear,
I think people think that.
Fear is a, it's kind of a checks and balance for you.
Absolutely. I think it's a way to protect yourself.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's not something to be discounted as a weakness. you know, it gives you that balance from...
Right, because nothing is all perfect, all wonderful, all the time. There are risks to everything we do. There are emotional risks, mental risks, physical risks, and that is very true in kink and DS. Mm-hmm. We know that. So when you feel a little bit of fear, that's your brain going, can we put the brakes on here? Let's assess for risks. I'm seeing some risks here. Let's
maybe
talk about this.
Maybe we just need to slow it down a little bit.
Right. And the problem I have found from my own experience, because I'm an anxious person, and also talking to a lot of kinksters who are getting into the lifestyle, is that the problem is when your fears stop you. Your fears allow you to sabotage a relationship you're in. Your fears have you running from a person you really care about, but you're overwhelmed by your own fears. And sometimes nothing's going to stop that. If the fear is that powerful, if there is something being triggered in your head that has you reacting that way, that might just be what happens. And maybe that person wasn't the person who's going to help you get through these fears.
Well, I think the hardest thing being human is that, you know, this is something I've had to tell myself a good part of my life, and sometimes I still don't follow it. You should not let your fear rule you. You know, you technically should rule your fear. And it's easier said than done.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It really is.
Yes, all my anxiety peeps out there. Yeah, we know. We know it is way easier to say.
It's waving a flag right now,
I know,
right?
Yeah. I love a good inspirational saying, but the ones that are like, there's nothing to fear but fear itself. I'm like, fuck you, and tell that to my anxious brain, because no, you know what I can fear? I can fear that little crack on the sidewalk. I might trip over it and break a leg. That's how my anxious mind works. Now, it's true. So that's also the hard part about fears, is separating out what is a fear based on you're reading the signals that the other person's putting out.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing patterns maybe from past relationships, and you're seeing the same kind of behavior again. And I, like I said before, we're not even talking about abusive necessarily, just a bad tape or something that this partner is doing reminds you of something that didn't go right with somebody else, right? And how much of it is your brain taking a small thing and what-ifing it to death and turning it into a massive thing. Like, I heard a squeak in the middle of the night last night. It was a squeak. It was a chair squeak. I knew. My logical mind went, that is the oldest in his bedroom. He's sitting in his desk chair. But what my anxious brain did, my brain primed for fear, was, oh my God, somebody's breaking in. They're going to come busting in through here. And you want to know what? They're going to find you dead and naked tomorrow. And that's what your mother's going to know. I mean, that's...
Wow.
I know.
And so, I slept through it all.
All of it. It was out. So out. And that's on something that, in retrospect, I can say is a small, silly thing. Well, let's talk about being in a relationship. Because I've said this many times, I was filled with fear when John Brownstone and I met. I made you work six months to get close enough for me to go, this is actually a relationship. We were doing all of the relationship things, and I wouldn't call it a relationship.
Glad I had nothing better to do.
I know. I'm glad you're a patient soul. But my fears in that instance were about, it's not gonna last. This isn't real, because everything else I'd ever thought was real had turned out to not be something that was long lasting. I was afraid you were gonna see my level of crazy and go, oh, I'm outie, I gotta go, this bitch has got too much crazy for me. And I was convinced that people always left me, and so I was afraid to let you get too close and to get too attached to you, because when you left, I needed to be able to survive it. And so fears don't even always sound like fear. Sometimes they sound like self-defense mechanisms. Sometimes they sound like coping mechanisms. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they sound perfectly logical. Because guess what? Relationships can end, and you can't predict, you know, if this relationship is going to last a month, a year, a decade, for the rest of your life. Like, you have no way of knowing that. But when you are fearful about what that outcome could be, it is much easier to go, this could end tomorrow, so I better not get too attached. And when you don't allow yourself to get attached because of that concern as a lighter word for fear, that concern that it's not going to end, then you miss out on some things. Then it is harder to develop trust. It's harder to develop those communication skills. It's harder to explore your limits and boundaries together because you're already keeping some distance between you and that other person because you've got it in your head that every other relationship before them ended, so this one might end too. And so therefore, why bother? Which means you are only giving a portion of yourself to that relationship. And sometimes that's the right move. Sometimes that's your intuition going, oh, this one's not supposed to last. But sometimes you want this one to last and you can see how good it is, but you're afraid. And so you don't give all of yourself, and then it never builds to the relationship it could have been. Why? Because you were afraid. Justifiably afraid? Sure. Yes. Most fears that are not like out of left field and, you know, about robbers in the middle of the night, have some justification to them. Many of them are based on small facts. But what happens, and I say this as an anxious person, and I'm not saying that every anxious person does this. I can't speak for all anxiety sufferers. But we take really small things and we turn them into massive things.
Molehills
into mountains. And I'm I am like expert level at this. I have a PhD in this. Oh, I've been doing this my whole life. But guess what? And here was the revelatory thing for me. I've had several revelations about anxiety over the years. Okay. One, the first time I realized that not everybody walks around in their day doing the what if game with every single thing they see and not being scared of all the what ifs that they can come up with, I was dumbfounded. I'm like, what do you mean you're not preparing for the worst every second of every day? Also, I'm really tired because I'm preparing for the worst every second of every day. And so once I got that into my head that, wait, not everybody walks around constantly worried about something, constantly fearful of something. And that is all, there's a spectrum to that. There's levels to that. Then I got that in my head. And so then I got to the point where I was assuming that nobody was ever afraid the way I was. And it was a little comforting and a little weird to find out that people who do not have anxiety, who their mental health is fairly decent, it's fine, get fearful about the same things I'm fearful about. Now here's what a fearful mind, an anxious mind then says. Well, how the hell do we know that this isn't a real fear or this is a fake fear if you're afraid of it too? Because I can be afraid of anything. So don't listen to me on that one. But that was the thing. The first time, every time you've ever said to me that you're a little nervous, nervous is another word for fear, worried, concerned. Like there's levels, there's gradations to this. My anxiety spikes because you're supposed to be the calm one. You can't be afraid.
So if I'm nervous, then that gives you cause to be nervous.
Clearly the sky is falling when you're nervous. Clearly the sky is falling. Okay. So I would
and yet, on the other hand, we went to a lovely event last weekend, and you were incredibly nervous about going.
My social anxiety
and
I
basically had to kind of twist your arm and take you out to dinner.
I know. Yeah, you had to bribe me with food.
Had to bribe you with food.
Yeah.
And you ended up having a marvelous time.
I did. And we talked about on the way home what I had been afraid of. And my fears were not about our relationship. They were purely professional. There was a lot of social anxiety. Ben in the chat here on YouTube talks about being in a play party and having to like go to the car because the social anxiety, there was too many people. I have that all the time. My social anxiety will definitely keep me in the house.
Yeah.
It was part of that, just going to a kink event, which was a workshop. Nobody was getting naked. There wasn't even that many people. There was like a dozen people, maybe a little bit
15
more.
People, yeah.
In a big enough space. It was great. The speakers were on point. I would go listen to anything they said, even if it was not my kink they were talking about, because, oh my God, they were amazing. I was like, I want us to be like them when we grow up. That's how good they were. We will definitely talk more about that in the bonus section. But I had that fear. And thankfully, we are fortunate enough in our relationship that if one of us is fearful, the other one can usually lift that person up.
Yeah.
And y'all have figured out, I'm sure, that it's usually me who's fearful. Brownstone is like, come on anyway. And you have found the tools, like bribery with dinner and coffee, lots of coffee, to get me to move past those fears. But you have been doing that from the very beginning of our relationship, because I was, we met online, we're chatting back and forth, and we've been chatting probably for a couple of weeks before I think it dawned on either of us that, hey, wait, there's something here.
Right.
And the moment I went, oh, there's something here. I immediately went, oh my God, there's something here. This is going to end in tragedy and fire and awfulness, and I'm going to be miserable for the rest of my life. And and then tried to just put the brakes on. I was constantly trying to run away from it. I was either saying things like, well, when you find somebody else, or my favorite, we'd gotten to the point where we were doing some kinky things like over the phone. And I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. but I'm still, and we've said this before, this will be a repeat for people who listen every week. Yeah, but I'm still seeing other people, because that was my out. That was my way of letting him know, don't worry, I'm not too serious about this. So when you change your mind,
mm-hmm.
I'll be fine. You can't hurt me. Of course it would have hurt me. It would have been freaking devastating. Or how many times did I either text you or call you or email you and go, I don't know why you're with me. This is clearly not working.
Oh,
you
yes.
should go find somebody who will make you happy. And that was my way of getting him to see that clearly I was the wrong one. This was not going to work. Just end it with me now. I didn't want to end it. So I wasn't going to. I needed him to end it. And then I could be justified in my fear.
In your fear.
And
I didn't.
You did. Clearly. You held on for this wild ride. So if you are fortunate enough in your relationship where one of you is not terrified or you're not scared of the same things, it is kind of the one who's not afraid that has to be a certain level of strength for the other until you can get over those fears. Now, we can both be afraid one at the same time, and thankfully we're fortunate enough, usually it's of different things. Like, I was afraid of commitment. I was afraid of what this meant. I was afraid of getting hurt again because I had just gone through a breakup that had been soul destroying. It was awful. And so I had all of that was fresh on my mind, and that's what I expected because that's what had happened. It was a brand new bad tape, but there it was. And now these days, the fears, we don't have a lot of them. When they come up, they're usually actually based either in my wacky anxious mind, and so clearly it's let me just take a nap or something and we'll get through it, or it's still based on unknown things, but it is based on things that we now have the experience that, oh, we're scared about selling the condo. We're scared about mm-hmm. moving. We're scared about doing this new business thing. But we've now done enough things together through fear, moving through those uncertainties, those worries, those concerns, that we get snappy. We are not our best selves.
No.
But we know that we've done everything else together. So we can get through this together. We might be a little disheveled when we get to the other end, but we will get through it together.
But we muddle through it and we pick up the pieces and move on.
And that is the perfect word. And I don't care how new your DS relationship is. I don't care if it's 5 minutes old or it's 50 years old. We are all muddling through.
Yeah.
Okay? Even relationships, and I know some people look at ours like this, that looks like it's perfect, looks like nothing bad ever happens, looks like we can do anything together. And we can, but you know what we're doing? We are muddling through it.
Mm-hmm.
So quite frankly, in your fears, your partner's fears, you've got to figure out how you're going to muddle through it together.
Yeah.
And the best way is just to talk about it. And that's why I wanted to talk about this and have this as a topic, because too many of us think that somehow we're the only one who's afraid of pick the thing you're afraid of, right? Too many of us are afraid that we are the only ones afraid of being not good enough, of being rejected, of whatever. Whatever's got you scared in your own relationship or scared when you think about pursuing a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, many of us with mental health concerns realize that we sometimes have to be a little careful about how much we let our crazy show early mm-hmm. on, right? I'm of the mind that I'll let it as much of it hang out as is safe for me to do so, because you better know what you're dealing with before we get too involved, because after it might be too late. I've got mm-hmm. you trapped like a Venus flytrap. You didn't know this is a Venus flytrap situation.
No, I didn't.
Or a praying mantis one, except I haven't murdered you after
sex. You
haven't
eaten me yet.
So,
yeah,
no, not yet.
Okay.
So I am kind of a... There's a fine line between that. So if your fears are because you have anxiety, or your fears are because you're dealing with a mental illness, a physical illness, some neurodivergency, whatever, my personal philosophy is, in a way that's safe for you to do so, just be straightforward. as soon as possible, because you want to know if that person can handle it and wants to handle it. And I'd rather you back out in the first 5 minutes before I've gotten attached, before all my other fears can come mm-hmm. in, rather than we've been together 6 months and this seems like a surprise to you and now I'm devastated. But even then, there's a line. Like, how much do you tell somebody? Because the person who barely knows me might be like, this bitch is crazy, and they're running. But they might get to know me, and a month later go, oh, well, yeah, she's a little crazy, but I like her. And so it's not that bad.
Well, my crazy plays well with your crazy.
This is true. And I do think you have to find people whose crazy plays well with your crazy. I think that's just... And again... There is no perfect solution. There is no test we can give to the other person to go, okay, here are all my fears. Can you handle them all? Or here are all the things I'm worried about. Can you fix them all? Like, it does not work that way. These things are going to crop up, and sometimes they're all going to happen at once, and you're going to have 10 things you're battling, whether you have a mental illness or not, all at once. And then sometimes you're going to go weeks and everything's going to be kind of calm and soothing. And I know many people who just have a lot of worries. When things get too calm, we go, things are too calm. What's going to happen? Something's going to happen. And we just work ourselves up. But we have to be able to talk about those fears. And we have to be able to talk about them with our partner. And it's talking about them that helps you grow closer, helps you muddle through them. There are no solutions. There are no easy fixes to anything you're afraid of. There's just not. Even somebody like me who's anxious about stupid stuff, like I hear a noise in the middle of the night and my brain has gone to the, I'm about to be murdered by pirates or something. You can't just logic me out of that all the time. It depends on where I'm at, right? So there are no easy solutions, but there is building the trust between you. And this is the hardest part, and we don't talk about this a lot, but it is something that I think about a lot. It's about being vulnerable with the other person. You, in order to have any successful relationship, you have to be vulnerable with the other person. But DS, BDSM, any part of BDSM, but certainly dominance and submission, requires vulnerability. Like, how vulnerable is a submissive who is in a position physically, mentally, emotionally, where they're dominant within reason, within boundaries, can do whatever they want? You are already getting practice at being vulnerable. So now, just saying out loud, I'm scared that you're going to realize I'm, you know, too much to handle and you're going to leave me. Saying that out loud is no different in a level of being vulnerable than going, yes, I will let you beat my naked body and trust you not to hurt me and do things I said I don't want to do. We know how to be vulnerable in DS, but we're not applying those skills evenly, okay? We are not taking the vulnerability we know about saying, I want to do this kinky thing with you, even though I've never done this kinky thing with anybody else and I've never admitted I want this kinky thing. We're not taking that level of vulnerability and shifting it and going, I'm a mess right now because I'm not sure, you know, you really care about me. I'm not sure this can last. I've got a bad tape in my head from a past relationship and it's freaking me out and I can't sleep. Like, we don't shift in the way that I think we should. And I think if more of us would do that, you open yourself up to conversations that are not easily solved. And the person in the relationship who is a fixer is going to be frustrated.
Yeah.
They just are. It's important.
I think one of the hardest things when it comes, especially to relationships, and we kind of talked about that last week, I think, when we were coming back from Gainesville, how for both of us, neither one of us are, she is nothing like any person I have ever dated before in the past.
Okay? Both good and bad.
No, it's a good thing because I had a type.
And you were in a pattern.
And I was in a pattern. That pattern was not healthy for me. And what it comes down to, when you look at it, we, even though it's not healthy for us, it's our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
We will stick with what's comfortable, even when it's bad for us. Sure.
So even though you were very different from anyone I had ever dated in the past, and I had my fears and doubts too.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Because there were some similarities that hit on some of your bad tapes real big.
Yes. Yes. But it took a lot of effort to break away from that comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And it is a fearful thing. But sometimes you have to make that effort because, it, especially if you find yourself in a particular pattern.
And you have to be willing to take a look at your life and at some point go, the same things keep happening to me. I might be in a pattern. It doesn't mean that the other person wasn't doing bad things and that, you know, it's all your fault. But you do have to take that moment and mm-hmm. be introspective enough to realize yeah. that, wait, I'm not getting to the place I want to be. I don't have whatever it is, the relationship, the kink, the this, the that I right. want. And while there can be a lot of reasons for that, one of the things you should be looking for is, am I in a pattern? Am I doing the same thing right. over and over again, trying to expect a different result? Because it just doesn't work that mm-hmm. way.
You know, I have a rule of thumb in the shop. When I'm doing something, especially if it's something I've never done before, if I do it 3 times and it doesn't work, I need to step back and find a different way to do it, because if I keep doing the same thing and expecting different results, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
So I could keep doing and doing and doing the same thing over and over and over again, and I'm just going to be mm-hmm. treading water.
And here's the thing. The moment you decide, I'm going to step out of my comfort zone, I'm going to do something different, I'm going to go to a different place to meet kinksters, I'm gonna stop using that app and we'll do something else, I'm going to say yes to that person who sounds great, but I have this list of characteristics I say I want. That's what I did. It's like, these are the characteristics I want. He fit none of them.
Yeah.
None of them. Okay. But everything else, having a conversation with him was the best thing I'd ever done. I felt comfortable. It felt easy. That was a fear. This is too fucking easy, right? But stepping mm-hmm. out of your comfort zone to break a pattern, to break a cycle, that's going to be terrifying. Because now you're afraid you're doing something wrong and that you've lost your mind. And you knew how to handle that pattern, and this is something brand new. And that's another fear to have to navigate. Another fear, a legit fear. I'm sorry, y'all. My nose itches because we are right by this fireplace and there's dust. Another fear I had, and I had it with you for sure.
Okay.
This is too good to be true. This can't possibly be real. This is not as hard as every relationship I've ever had. I had to work, of course, because every relationship you have to work. But I didn't have to justify myself. I didn't have to demand attention. I didn't have to beg to be listened to. I didn't have to do any of that. And so I went, whoa, whoa, whoa. What's the catch? This is too easy. He wants to hear what I have to say. He's asking questions. Was it always perfect? Of course it wasn't. Sometimes we miscommunicated and we didn't understand what the other was saying. Sometimes we had expectations that we forgot to tell the other one about, and then we didn't meet them. All of those things were true. But when we were together and things were just clicking, we fit. Not because I'm a perfect partner, not because he's a perfect partner, but because we fit together.
Right.
And this has nothing to do with fears. This is about sort of relationship advice. You have to work hard to make a relationship work. You should not be beating your head against a brick wall to make it work. Now, and it doesn't mean that they're necessarily a bad person. It means they're not the right person for you. Yeah. It means there's a mismatch somewhere that's not something that you can easily solve and go, oh, this is what I need. And the other person goes, oh, okay, I'll do my best. I'll learn a new habit. I'll try, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when you do get to that point, when you have been like I had been in those cycles of it was always a struggle. Every relationship I wanted had really good moments. And then the moment you had to do the work of a relationship, like the sex was good, the kink was good, that was easy. But the moment you had to do the work of a relationship and have a conversation, like the moment I didn't have to work for that, and that just worked because mm-hmm. we both put in equal amounts of effort, got scared. This is too good to be true. This can't be real, because this was not my experience with relationships. So that is also a thing to think about when you are trying to break a pattern and you're already doing something scary by trying something new mm-hmm. and talking to that person that maybe you wouldn't have talked to before, or going there to meet people and maybe you wouldn't have done that before. When you eventually come across your person who is a good fit, or one of your people, because you can certainly have multiple partners if that's your thing, and it is kind of easy and it doesn't require so much effort, you can get scared of that too. But now what I've learned after all the time of us being together is when I am scared, the thing I have to do is go, I'm terrified. I'm scared. I'm worried. I'm freaked out. Mm-hmm. I don't know what this means. And he, like I said a little bit ago, well, if you're a fixer, this is going to suck because there is no easy fix. I'm a fixer. I know I'm a fixer. Tell me your problem. I will come up with 10 solutions for you that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. It does not help you, but it does make me happy. So when he comes to me and says, I'm nervous about this. I'm worried about this. I'm concerned about this. My brain goes, solution, solution, solution. And sometimes the solution is, let's sit with that for a minute and let me let you talk this through.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the best way to push through a fear is to say it out loud, bring it out to the light of day and really look at it. And then sometimes you'll go, I'm afraid of what? Because it's easy to be afraid of something that we keep in a dark corner in our head that we're afraid to say out loud. That we think if we say out loud, we've somehow given it power. The power, most every fear I've ever had, the power that fear had was to get stuck in my head and to just live there and to grow and to cycle and to circle and to be an mm-hmm. unending, never ending, you're afraid of this, you're afraid of this, you're afraid of this. And the moment I say it out loud with somebody I trust, with somebody who is good with having that boundary with me, then I sometimes I go, okay, that sounds really stupid when I say it out loud. And sometimes it really is kind of a silly thing, like the robbers who are going to come in the middle of the night and he'll laugh. And then I go, oh yeah, that's right. That was a silly fear. And sometimes it's a point of conversation. It's mm-hmm. a point of conversation where the other person says, okay, so why do you think that is? Did something happen? Is there something I can do? What do you need? And then you start talking through it and you're doing multiple things now. You are working through these fears, most of which probably don't have a basis in reality other than previous experience. You are being vulnerable with your partner in a way that will build trust between you and lets you both learn how y'all really fit together. Is this a good fit? And you're building your communication skills. Because the moment you learn how to say really hard things to one another, the rest of it becomes so fucking easy. I can say really hard shit to John Brownstone, which also means I am really good now at going, I need you to spank my ass as soon as possible.
Okay.
See, there was a time I couldn't say that. No. There was a time I could not say that. But if I can tell him my biggest, deepest, darkest fears, I can tell him I need a spanking. Like, it just all becomes easier. The first 100 times you do it, it will not automatically be mm-hmm. easy because it's a trust exercise. It's a, I want to say this thing out loud to you. And also I have to then learn that you can handle this thing I'm going to say out loud to you. So do you, since I come to you with fears way more than you come to me with fears,
mm-hmm.
do you have advice as somebody who gets like big, little, random, and serious, like, fears dumped in your lap? Like, how do you navigate that?
I think, for me, the biggest thing is to not just brush it off
mm-hmm.
when you come to me. Because when you tell me your fears, all right, that is that it, I may listen to it and think, well, that's really not that big a thing, per se. But it is to you.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So I think what I need to do is I acknowledge your fears, and then I talk through them with you. It's the P word, y'all. Patience.
I hate that word.
I think that's really what it kind of comes down to is just being patient about it. So it's tough because it's easy to say, oh, well, that's irrational. There's, you know, just blah, 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 do it, blah, nothing. And you can't be that way because all that's going to do is hurt you more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's going to cause you to dig your heels in even more with your fears.
Or it's going to make me say, I can't bring this to you. I can't say this.
Right, because look at this reaction I'm just going to react and dismiss it.
Right.
And you can't do that.
And so it's a two-way street. And a lot of people, because I'm a sub and you're a dom, are going to think this is a dom-sub thing. The dom has to take on all of that mental gobbledygook from the sub. It's a person thing. So dominance, as a community, we need to do a better job of making sure dominants understand that being afraid of things, having vulnerabilities, is not a weakness. We also have to teach subs that they cannot expect their dominant to be superhuman. I hate that shit. I hate that shit as somebody who in the very beginning put every dominant that I respected up on a fucking pedestal and was shocked when they had issues. And yeah, I was shocked, but when I care about somebody, I'm a little intense with it. And I mean, my empathy just, oh my God, it overflows. So when a dominant I cared about had a problem, I wanted them to talk to me. I wanted to be able to help. I wanted to do whatever I could. I wanted to give them that space to be vulnerable, because that's just how I relate to people I care about. But it was still a shock. And that is a disservice we do to dominance of all genders, of all types, because not only do new dominants come up in this lifestyle thinking that they are somehow supposed to be superhuman and stoic and never show a softer emotion or a vulnerability, but submissives walk in with that pedestal thing. And then if they're not prepared to have their partner be vulnerable with them, they can't handle it. And then their fears kick in and then their expectations. And it's devastating for everybody, because then you're thinking, hey, I was having this great situation with this person, but the moment I got real with them, they couldn't handle it. What the fuck? And then it teaches you a bad tape of, maybe I should never get real with anybody, right? And that's a very, pardon the use of the word real 18 real. Times, a very real thing.
Yeah.
It's valid, and it happens, and it's not fair. It's not right. It's, you know, I love that people spend a lot of time learning their kinky fuckery, because what we do can be risky, right? Like, I want you to be safe when you do whatever your kink is, hitting somebody or mind fucking somebody or whatever your thing is. But we do not spend nearly enough time on the human aspect of relationships and the back and forth give and take. We talk about how the dominant tells the sub what to do and the sub complies. That's like a fraction of DS.
Right.
That is like the most minute, teeny tiny little itty bitty part of DS.
That's true.
Even when you're just scening, even when you're just play partners, it is still only a small part of it. Because even in a scene, you're opening yourself up to vulnerabilities. You're opening yourself up to triggers you didn't know about. You're opening yourself up to having a reaction to whatever you're doing and whatever the moment is. You're opening yourself up to what you need for aftercare. You're opening yourself up to how you keep yourself safe and how you keep your partner safe. And this is an old episode where we talked about responsibilities, but there's a massive amount of responsibility on both sides of the slash for that. And it works better whether you are in a long-term, want to be in love forever and get married relationship, or you're like, hey, I just really like that person and I respect them and I'd like to like fucking beat their ass every once in a while, right? It doesn't matter. But when you can open yourself up to a certain amount of vulnerability with that person and be a real human being instead of this domly character or this submissive character, then you have better connections. You have better moments. They are more real, they are more meaningful. And it's just, and I went on a rant, and I didn't think this is the one that would make me rant. I get mad. Also, I was reading the comments in the live chat, and I was getting mad on people's behalf. It's like, damn it. Because I promise you, if I could like have
Doggy.
A garden where doms and subs can just be grown, and we can water them, and we can, you know, make them learn how to communicate and share their feelings and be the right person for the person that matches them. You know, you don't all need a John Brownstone, mostly because you can't all have one, just saying. But also because what you need as a person is going to be different than what I need. Like, we all do need our own unique things. But like, if I could just distribute fully mature, self-actualized humans who happen to be dominant or submissive to the people who would like a partner like that. Like, I wish I could do that. I wish I could, if nothing else, I wish I could send these all these people, regardless of your title, your label, who have communication issues, send them all to school where we can teach them how to communicate and learn how to like get a little bit comfortable with being a little bit scared, because everything we do in DS has some amount of risk. You're going to hit somebody. That's risky. You're going to tie somebody up. That's risky.
It has physical and emotional risk.
You're going to pour hot wax on somebody. That is risky. So guess what? If you can do those risks, then you are, even if you don't think you're ready for them, even though you might not be in the right headspace for it yet, you are capable of taking the risk of being vulnerable with your partner in an emotional way, in a verbal way, and saying, these are the things in my mind. This is the stuff I'm dealing with that's affecting our DS. This is the stuff where I could really use, I just need somebody to listen. I just need you to know this is going on. Whatever it is, the way I do it is not necessarily the way you gotta do it. But we think of these things sort of in black and white. The physical is one, and it is somehow completely separate from the mental and emotional, and not really. There's a spectrum, there's a level. You know, if I have a play partner, which I don't, and I kind of can't imagine it, but I probably could imagine it, I don't know. Would they know as much about me as John Brownstone is? Of course they wouldn't. They don't live with me. They're not married to me. They're not in this part of my life all the time. But would I be damn sure to tell them, look, when you say that or when you use that thing, this triggers this part of my anxiety. I need you to know that. Mm-hmm. Or, hey, I've never played with you before and I'm a little nervous right now. Can we talk about that? Can we sit with that for a moment? That's a point of vulnerability. Right. I'm going to say that because that's my responsibility in this human interaction to make sure we have a good outcome. And I know it's not something that we talk about. So a lot of people want to do these things and they don't have the skills yet, or they haven't heard that this is something that's important and they're focused on the physical aspect. Like, I know. But my hope and wish would be that more people would figure this out and in their own way, in the way that works for you, start working on it. Start talking about your fear. Start sitting with your fear. Start admitting that you're afraid. Dominance.
Yes.
You can admit that you're afraid. If you've never beat somebody's ass and now you're about to, I keep going back to, because I got spanking on the brain, I'm just telling y'all right now. If you've never done it before,
I don't know why,
and you're about to do it, and you've practiced on pillows and you've gone to the classes and you have done it in theory, but you've never done it with this person and you're a little nervous, that's valid. That's a real fear. And you don't have to, you know, like fall down on the ground crying about it to be vulnerable with your submissive, but you can say, I'm just letting you know, I'm going to take this slow. This is new for me. I'm a little uncertain. That's huge. That's a huge path to building trust with another human being. And that's all I'm saying. I think I got off topic of what I was really thinking about fears, but that's okay. I went on two rants. Two. And
of course you
did. I just want y'all to know, if you're watching or listening, I love y'all. And even if you're not ready yet, that's okay. Okay. I have found this many times about many different things, not just kinky things, that I sometimes have to hear multiple people tell me kind of the same thing. And then one day the right person tells me in the right way and I go, I get it. And I can act on it. And we might not be those people. You might be going, this bitch is crazy.
She's like a kid sometimes. I will tell her something, be the God's honest truth, and she'll look at me like I have three freaking heads.
I don't know.
She hears the same thing from somebody else verbatim, and it's good.
I want the record to show that you do that same shit to me in reverse. There have been many times I've been like, Ronnie, this is how you do this thing. And you go, I'm like, no, you just hear the stats. You do it like this. And then he's on YouTube. And the person on YouTube shows him the exact stuff. And sometimes the exact way I said it. And he goes, oh, you know, this is how you do that thing. Are you freaking kidding me?
Touche.
So, I don't know. I really didn't mean to like rant. Because I don't, you know, I know we get to talk from a place of a certain amount of privilege. We are in a very happy, healthy relationship. The stressors we had 5 years ago, we no longer have. The stressors we had 3 years ago, we have new stressors. We have new things we're navigating. But we are in a really good place in our relationship. And so we speak from a different perspective. And if you have just come out of a crappy relationship, or you're dealing with a partner who's, you're like listening to the things I say and you're like, I'm sorry, you're clearly in fantasy land. That's not how it works, right? We're all at different places in this. And that mm-hmm. does make it more difficult to sort of understand how these things apply. I just want to put the thought in your head, you know? And part of it is, I live in a Twitter bubble. Not just my kink bubble, but my sex blogger bubble. And the sex bloggers I follow are way better at this than I am. They can, like, just, they go on Twitter and they're like, I'm going through this awful thing. And they just put it on Twitter. And I'm always like, wow, how do they do that? Like, I could tell one person I'm afraid of something. And his poor thing, his name's John Brownstone. And so it's kind of, it's refreshing to see that there are people out there who are outside of a relationship, outside of kink episode, just they're learning how to go, here's a little bit of my messiness, and my messiness is is part of who I am, and then take it or leave it, you know. And we are very afraid, speaking of fears, of looking at a partner and saying, this is who I am, and I'm willing to accommodate your needs and compliment your needs, but this is who I am, take it or leave it. Why? Because we're afraid that they're gonna go, okay, leave it, gotta go. And that is devastating, especially when you had poured your heart and soul into somebody, and you had big dreams and big plans and amazing thoughts for the future of this relationship. But from a very pragmatic, Mama Kayla's going to tell you how shit is, you don't want that person. And somewhere out there, I don't know how long it's going to take you, I don't know how you're going to find them, I don't know if it'll be romantic or platonic or friendship or sexual, I don't know. But you will come across that person who goes, you go, take it or leave it, motherfucker. And they go, well, I'm taking it. Bring your crazy on. I can handle it. Because every other thing about you is perfect for me. And even your crazy is perfect for me. Even though, who are we going to work on that? I think that's sort of how you did it. We're like, we're going to work on this crazy. I'll take it. But we got to work on it. And we did.
Yeah.
We're better.
Mm-hmm.
And my optimistic side really does believe that. I don't think it's quick. I don't think it's easy. I don't think everybody has a soulmate out there. They're just, like, I don't. That's too easy. There's too many platitudes there.
Yeah.
But I do think there are people in your life who will... You don't need 100 people. You need one. Maybe two.
Mm-hmm.
A handful, you know, depending on how you're wired. I know some polyamorous people are like, one? Are you freaking kidding me?
But, yeah. Well, you know. The thing that comes to my mind is quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And even in that aspect, you can still be poly and have quality.
Right. You can I know it was, it's E.L. Byrne who did a great blog post. She's poly. And she talked about how she has partners who, if she was monogamous, these people would not be her partners because they require, like, they can't give her everything she needs. There are some issues there, but they can fulfill a need. And so she can be in this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, having a primary partner, or having this one person, and then she can, you know, there can be other people. And so there's just a lot to it.
There is.
There's just a lot to there it. Is. And I just wanted to, I guess I wanted to just put it out there that your fears are normal. You're not alone. You're not the only one afraid. You're, whether you're the sub or the dom or the both, you fear a switch. Mm-hmm. Your partner has their own fears, even if they're not talking about them.
I just want to touch on something real quick that I've seen a couple people talk about. You know, I know a number of doms who are on all the time.
Yes, there's a conversation in live chat for podcast listeners about their dom kind of being on all the time. Good Lord, that's exhausting.
It is.
For everybody.
Now, there are some people who do thrive on that.
Mm-hmm.
I have known several relationships where mostly master slave.
Yeah, that
okay.
Yeah, that tends to be really intense.
And in those cases, the master literally micromanages their slave down to the point of when they can eat, when they can go to the bathroom, everything. Myself, I don't want to be on all the time. It's tiring.
It is exhausting.
Okay. It doesn't mean I don't take the responsibilities I have to Kayla or anybody else lightly. I don't. I take them very seriously. But being on all the time can be exhausting. There have been times I have gone to her, and even as myself, I feel safe enough to go to her and say, look, I am at the end of my rope. I have had it hitting me from every side. I just can't do this. You know, and I know I can say that to her and not have any fear. Oh, well, you're not, you know, how can you be and, you know,
no,
you don't want to do.
But for me, first of all, you were always daddy, regardless of whether you're telling me what to do or not, quite frankly. It's a little nicer when you're not, but whatever. And as you're submissive, that is my chance for service. You're like, I can't. And I go, okay. And so when I start taking care of everything in the bossy way that I usually do, it's called service.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's the fine line to figure out, and everybody will be different about this, for a dominant who is, quote, on and is not comfortable sharing vulnerabilities, opening themselves up, saying what's on their mind, like getting deep in their feelings. Like, I know there's some dominants who are listening to us right now are like, these people are full of fucking shit. Okay, I get it. My question would be, the thing I would challenge the relationship to kind of figure out, but certainly the dom to go a little inward there, a little introspective, and figure out, is it because there's this idea in your head of what you think it means to be a dom, and that requires that vision of dominance requires being on, or does that energize you? Does that feed your need for dominance to always be on? Because for some people, yes, that is who they are, and it's going to take more effort on their part to go, okay, I can still be dominant and say the hard things, and there's a way to do this that works for my partner. But for a lot of people I meet, especially newer people, it is because they have this preconceived notion of what dominance means. And so they have decided that for them, dominance means I don't get vulnerable, I don't admit my feelings, whatever it is. Like, I'm always in, you know, sort of commander role. And, you know, I think there's nothing wrong. If that's working for the relationship, there's nothing wrong with it.
Right.
But I think that it may be incumbent upon the submissive to go, I like you this way. This is great. However, I need this. And how can we make this work? Because this is a need I have.
I think what, you know, like we have talked about in various episodes, you know, even with this, it's a spectrum thing. Okay, because it there's a broad range. We consider ourselves 24/7, but I am not barking orders at her, and she is not on her knees constantly.
Not anymore.
Well, no.
My fantasy of what I thought 24/7, well, that was it.
Yeah.
And I'd have been like, oh, this is delightful.
But I think what it means for us is that being 24/7, we can slide in and out of that space.
Because even when you're not, quote, doing a dominant thing, you are a dominant person. It is inherent in your personality. It is inherent in your being. And in my mind, I don't care what you're doing. I don't care if it's when you were being silly and singing songs or when you were standing over me, you know, we're doing a clothed male, naked female thing. Like, I don't care what it is. You are always the daddy. You are always the decider. You are always in charge. Now, will I push against that? Sure. Have the very few of our blow-ups over time been about me disagreeing with you and you exerting a level of control that I'm like, but I have thoughts on this. And it's because for us, not everybody will see it this way. Dominance is not about the actions. The actions can be faked, quite frankly. You can say the right things. You can do the right things. It's about how you feel. And it's about, for us at least, it's about knowing your place in the relationship.
Yeah.
So to outsiders, I appear quite bossy. I am quite bossy. I know what I am. It's fine. Okay, I'm a leader, damn it. Bossy one.
You're brassy.
That too. But I also know, because I know who I am, I am a submissive, you are dominant, that even in the middle of my bitchiest, bossiest moment, in some way, I'm going to turn to you, whether I say it out loud or I just give you a look, and it's going to be guidance. It's going to be, do I have the okay? Where are we at? You are in charge.
Or
he
if
doesn't
enough,
have to be doing
or,
anything to
or
be
if enough is enough, and I say, baby girl.
God damn it, I hate that. Do
that. Baby girl, what you doing?
Enough, nothing. And anybody, and that's it. Because dominance is not just the series of actions somebody takes. For many of us. It is a mindset. It is how we see ourselves. And sometimes, yeah. You know, Ben makes the point, he has a hard time sometimes being on any of the time. Yeah. And that is valid, too. Mm-hmm. I still remember in the deepest, darkest moments that we've gone through, like when your sister was sick and when she died, you had moments where you were like, I can't fucking do this. And I'm like, you don't have to. Go be the grieving brother. Go be that role. I'm here and I'm going to support you. And it was funny because that was our partnership coming out. But even for me, even then, he didn't have to even be in that mindset for me to know that's my daddy. Mm-hmm. That's my dominant. Everything I do is because I'm his partner and it's because I love him, but also because I'm going to take care of him because as a submissive in my mind, that's what I do is I take care. So it's valid. It's all, it's not as black and white as people want it to be. And I think I just want to add some nuance into the kink world. So I don't know. Hopefully this was, if not helpful, maybe entertaining. Mm-hmm. You got multiple Kayla rants in one episode. Yeah, so we did something. We do have a bonus section. Because of course we do. Before we go, I just want to remind everybody that we are on Patreon. And if you like what we do, you can join us over on Patreon. We do a live Q&A every month. We just did the June one last weekend. And if you can't make it live, it's like these videos that we do for live streams. You can watch them later. And we do a bonus section podcast episode every month. And we do sneak peeks and we do like stuff. $1 a month gets you in. But if you are at the shout out level, I do things like this where I say hello to specific patrons because they're at that level. And that's Lorana and Kalina and Jay, Conduit of Queerness itself. And Laura and James. I know. I think I might have fucked it up and it might be Henry. But it might be James. Laura and y'all, I'll fix it. And Bella Pink Baby Girl. I like that name. Mm-hmm. So, feel free to join us, patreon.com/KaylaLords. I will put a link in the description below if you're watching on YouTube. And of course, if you're a podcast listener, that link is in the show notes. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, if you're a podcast listener, you're listening on Spotify, if that's your jam, if that's your app, because we're back and I'm very excited about that. Okay, so are you ready to go into
are we good?
The bonus section? Probably not. I'm sweating like a stuck pig.
I am. It's
my
hot
shirt.
Under these lights.
It is. And I got all riled up.
And I even bumped the air down.
My southern just like came syrup.
It just rolled right on out there.
I am hearing a lot more southern accents in this part of Florida than I do. We lived on the west end of Florida. So it happens. So.
Okay.
We love you guys. We're ready. Yeah. We're going to go into bonus section.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. We are finally getting back to being better at that.
Yes, I know.
Okay. You poor thing. I can't either. It's probably...
107.
live stream viewers, video viewers. This is what it's like behind the scenes.
Yep.
So we did get mail this week. And we got mail from Miss May, who we have met in person before. And it was a very sweet card with a sort of a personal note. So I'm not going to read it, but it was this cute little cat card. And I love it. I love it. I will make sure I take a picture and pop it on Instagram if for podcast listeners who want to see it. To follow us at that handle, I fucking hate. That would be as a reminder, a loving DS in the number one. And yes, I hate that fucking handle. So yes, we did get mail, and that is cool because that is the first non-sex toy product mail to our new P.O. box. And I was very excited. I was like, I'm going to go do the coffee run and let me go check the mail because we're about to record. And I was like, and I didn't expect anything. And we got real mail.
Night, Phoebe.
And Phoebe on live stream is going, bye. Yeah, depending on your time zone. It might be late.
I think we need Ben as our technical advisor.
Yes, but hopefully he works for compliments.
I know.
Ben, I'm happy for that, but we're going to need some more kinky patrons. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So this week, I finally got over enough of my social anxiety
mm-hmm.
that I finally made an appointment to deal with all of my grooming.
Now,
I sound like a dog, right? You're taking me to the groomer. So here's the thing. I lay it all out there. If you follow my personal blog, you already know this shit. So I get my eyebrows waxed because they look like caterpillars crawling across my face right now. But I do. I promise, for real, I do. And I get a Brazilian wax every month. I've been doing that since before I met John Brownstone. I have many people who accuse me of doing that for a man. I was like, bitch, that was post-divorce. That was the first thing I did for myself. I was like, I have no money, but I want this. And I've wanted this for years. I have no money. I don't know how I found the money. And it has been a budgeted item since September 2012. It is my thing. It is what I do. So I get my Brazilian and then I get my hair done. And anybody who like ever pays attention in the videos to my hair, you will see that it has grown the hell out. And that glint and the light, that's the silver in my hair. But the problem was is that I didn't know who to go to. I do have a person now to go and get my manicures done if I start doing that again, and that's fun. But I was stressing out because I was like, there's lots of options, and how the hell do I know? And not everybody's got a website, not everybody's got a Yelp review, and how my family who does live in town doesn't use any of those services, so they were of no help.
Yeah.
So I found a salon spa that does a lot of stuff. And I liked their website and their reviews were good and they actually put their prices online. And I was like, I really like them. And then my social anxiety kicked in and I spent a week with that website open in a tab on one of my browsers. Six browsers. Kid you not. And I went, oh God. And now I'm so grown out in the Brazilian area down south that I'm like, like scratching like I got something going on down there. And so I finally went, fuck this, I have to do something. So I steel myself, my social anxious self, to go make a phone call. Except every day I was like, today's the day I'm gonna make a phone call. I worked so late that, I couldn't make a phone call till after they were closed. I hate that. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, right.
Finally, I go to the website. And I'm like, I've just gotta make myself do this. And I don't know how other people who have any level of anxiety or worries or whatever, I have to like say to myself, self, you're going to do this on this day at this time, you're gonna do it. And it's like setting an appointment with myself and then I will do it. And I don't know why that works for me, but it does. But then I'm sitting there on the website. And part of it is the anxiousness of what if I pick the wrong place? Now, what if I pick the wrong place? I don't go back there next month. That's right. The solution. But my anxious brain is like, if you pick the wrong place, it will be the worst decision you've ever made. You'll be trapped there. You'll have to go there every month or you'll hurt somebody's feelings. And then you will be miserable. This is how anxiety works, y'all. So I'm like, I like their website. I like the reviews. I like their prices. It's fine. I mean, it's more than we paid before, but you were supportive. And so I was like, I could. And then I got to book online. I got to book my appointment online and not talk to anybody. And I did. And I have an appointment tomorrow, Thursday, for anybody listening. And I was like, I did that thing that I know other anxious people do of you find out it's not as bad as you thought it was. You built it up bigger in your mind and then you did the thing and it was nothing. And you're like, what the fuck was I worried about? I was like, wait, I've been anxious for a week over this. Why was I worried again? I don't know why I was worried again. Especially once I remembered that if I don't like the service, I don't have to go back.
No, you don't.
I don't know why that didn't occur to me.
You don't.
That has been my week and a half probably. Because it was last week. And really, I'd found that site before we moved because I'm a planner, because I'm an anxious person. So I'm a planner and that's how I deal with it. Yeah. So my hair is grown out and my junk is grown out. And I'm like ready for this appointment. I told John Brownstone, I was like, even if this is the worst Brazilian wax I've ever had, I don't care. Take it out by the roots. Please, God. If they'll just get my labia, like, I can handle them, like, I don't want it to suck. I hope it's a good one. Just get the itchy part. And now people know way more about me than they might have ever wanted to know.
Putting yourself out there.
Yes, in many ways. Yeah. I did another thing that scared me, but I was excited to do. not everybody would care or would listen because you're here for the kink, I assume. But I have another podcast called The Smut Lancer where I talk about creating content, writing primarily, but pictures and podcasts and videos, creating content about sex and getting paid to do it, because that's what I do for a living. I write about sex and I get paid to do it. And so I've rebooted a podcast that I had.
Yes.
And I'm doing it with my friend Molly Moore, whom I adore. If you're not following her, you really should. And so I was scared about that because new things always make me nervous, but I was really excited about that. So I did that this week. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of anxiousness in my life this week.
The thing that was funny about that, though, to me, is that I remember when you told me about it, mm-hmm. and I gave you a look, and you're like, oh, no, this is just Molly and I. You have no involvement in this. Nothing that I need, nothing that you're going to need to do. And then the day of, she's there, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to need you to do some editing and put in some music and add an intro. And
But a lot of the things that he usually has to do, he will not have to do, especially for recording two voices across a fucking ocean. Like, I've taken care of a big chunk of it. It's just mashing them together like a jigsaw puzzle. But yeah, I was sort of like, oh. But I didn't feel bad because at the same time, my friend Molly, who's also in a DS relationship with Dom Signs, who we've talked about many times on the show, she was like, oh, by the way, one time a month, you and I are going to record a podcast episode together. And he went, we're what? She said, yeah, I made that agreement while you were in the hospital recently. I'm just saying, that's what happens when you get goal-oriented submissives. We can make some plans. But no, I mean, I feel like there were other things, but nothing. Both kids are registered for school.
Yep.
And we still have got to do our driver's license, and I need a library book. So here's the thing. I know somebody's going to be like, oh, well, you read. Why don't you just read ebooks? So I do try to. I have no problem with ebooks. I think they're perfectly cool and legit, and I have read many an ebook, but mm-hmm. I am still the person who prefers to have a physical book in my hand.
I'm not particular. I go both ways.
You do go both ways. So I, and at night for falling asleep, even when that blue thing, the screen is like dimmed for nighttime or whatever, it's still a little too bright for me and it's still a little too stimulating. But I don't, and I, so I do need a, I need, I know that's part of probably what I need to calm down and relax. I need some books to read. But we can't go to our library until we get our driver's license, and we haven't figured out when we're going to do that yet. Yeah. We should probably get that sorted soon.
We do, because, like I say, I read ebooks, I read regular books, Bo. I go both. And
that cracks me up. Yes, you do go both ways.
Yeah. But, if I don't have access to a library soon, our Amazon bill is going to go through the roof because I've been reading books like a...
I can't afford your Amazon habit.
I can't afford my Amazon habit either.
You need to go find you somebody who will keep you in ebooks. That's what you need. Ooh, and is that a... And there's a... It's not... I don't want to say sugar baby, sugar daddy, but is there like an ebook version of that? Like they just...
Wow.
They just. I know. Maybe you could be that kind of findom where you're like, I don't want your money. I want ebooks. Buy this. We are probably going to kink hell for that one, but you know, I thought it was funny. So we do, the one thing I was like, what do we have? We went to the kink event Saturday night. Mm-hmm. We went to Gainesville, and it was your fourth kink event since I've been here. It was my second. And we got to meet a listener.
Yes.
Whose Instagram handle I cannot remember right now, the full thing, but I do know it's Sage. Mm-hmm. So if Sage is listening, hello. Yeah. It was lovely to talk to you. And it was a great event.
It was.
Depending on how active you are in kink communities in your local area, you may or may not have heard of these speakers because they go around the whole country speaking. Mm-hmm. And that's Master Talon and
Just Kathy.
And Master Talon was so great because he was like, yeah, Just Kathy. I'm like, yeah. And it was so funny because listening to them, they have clearly been speaking together for a very long time. And so they're very comfortable with that. And I think you and I are comfortable when we're doing it in a podcast level, but we've not done it live yet. So we'll see how this goes the first time we do it. But I'm sitting there going, we're like that. They're just telling their life story, and I am, one, learning plenty, and two, fascinated. And then I went, wait, we tell our stories and people haven't told us to shut up yet. Maybe this is, like, I felt so validated. It's like, oh, okay. I really am. I'm not annoying the fuck out of the whole kink community. Maybe I am entertaining somebody because I was so entertained listening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And their energy as they bounced off of one another. And it was so funny because Kathy wasn't really comfortable calling herself a little, but she did talk about little tendencies. And I was like, oh, that's a baby girl. If I've ever seen a damn baby girl. And I'm in the back in my purple dress, my purple sneakers, my purple baby girl bracelet.
Purple earrings.
Y'all, every shade of purple.
Purple hair.
Well, we can't really call that right now, but close enough. And I'm sitting back there with my purple purse, because of course. And I'm sitting back there, and I'm like, like baby girl from hell, soaking it all in, laughing. And I was doing a bobblehead thing, so they would throw out gems. Because their whole thing was about creating the relationship that you want and building this relationship and figuring out what that means. And they gave great tools, and I got tons of ideas of things. They were talking about things we've talked about before, and I was like, yeah, we've talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, DS is teamwork. Your relationship is teamwork. Oh, I was like, yeah, we're not the only ones that think that. And I got some other show ideas I can't wait to talk about. It's going to be great. But most of the time, I was sitting out there, and they would throw out a gem about relationships or communication or trust, and I'm back there, just my head's going up and down. And they don't know me. And I'm pretty sure they were like, who is that crazy chick in the back? You can't miss her. She's all purple and her head won't stop moving. I mean, I'm just up and down. I almost hurt my neck. It was amazing.
It was really.
Here's how I knew for sure they were our people. One of the ways they talked about figuring out, you know, how to make your relationship work, building the relationship you want, they pulled out the 5 love languages. And we both went, oh, yeah, quietly. Like, we weren't going to interrupt their thing, but we, like, yeah. Thank God we sat the very back. Hopefully we didn't disrupt anybody. So, but it was okay, what events can we go to around wherever where Master Talon and Just Kathy are speaking? And they do workshops on things I would not normally care to go. And I'm like, but I just want to watch them.
Yeah.
Like, I just like their vibe. It was so good.
Yeah, they're actually going to be speaking at FPE.
Florida Power Exchange. Which we have yet to get to go to.
I know. Live right around the corner and we haven't been. It's how it is sometimes. But they are going to be one of the speakers there. It's a fabulous, fabulous event. If you are able to get to the Tampa area, I believe this year it is mid-September.
It has been the past couple, couple years.
Mid-September. And a really fantastic kink event. People have talked about it. We know people locally from our old location, our local Munch, who would actually even though they lived in the area, they would
get a hotel.
Because
there's stuff going on, dungeons and play parties and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, they have all kinds of play parties, workshops. Opening night, they have cigar social.
Apparently they're bringing something back that they used to do. There's like a pajama party for littles.
Yes.
And there's a couple of other things that are like in the first couple of nights where they do some mm-hmm. events. So and everything I've ever heard about FPE, I'm like, I would love to go. I would also love to teach at that, but I won't teach an event I've never gone to because I need, my anxious brain can't handle that. I need the lay of the land. Mm-hmm. Just, that's how I work. But I'm like, it sounds amazing. I would have, other than dungeon play, I would have very little, because of the way I am socially, I'd have very little interest in all the party stuff around it. Like, let me go to the bar and have a glass of water and just talk to people I really care about or I'm really, really into or really interested mm-hmm. in or got a good vibe. Like, I could do that for hours. Like, that's my idea of a good time at a big event. But the dungeon play would be nice. But yeah, so I don't see us getting to go this year, but maybe something will happen. Maybe. I don't know. I'd love to go. Yeah. Even if we just went for one day, I'd love to go.
Right, right.
I know.
Ileana has a friend that's going to be presenting there this year.
Of course. I know. Yeah. I always have way bigger dreams than I have time for them or resources for them. So we'll get there.
And, you know, Ben, I know it's tough with that many people. And in all honesty, I used to be someone who loved going to concerts.
Yeah, I see that about you.
I loved going to concerts. And the people didn't bother me because I got lost in the music and that. And I used to go to bars and nightclubs. And, you know, anymore, I don't do those things because I don't like crowds either. But when I go to kink events, I feel very different about it.
And I feel very different in conferences. So I'm with Ben not liking a lot of people, certainly in a small enclosed space. But what I like about conferences, in my experience with conferences, and I've been to many vanilla ones, oh Lord, and then some kink writing kind of ones. And the thing I've found is that if you want to be left alone, you can be. Like, I have been an island among people. These places, as long as I didn't start a conversation with somebody or make eye contact, I could navigate my way through most of those. And then I just avoid those networking things where it's like, oh, we're all going to stand around with a drink in our hand and like make chit chat. Like that sounds like torture to me. That's just, you know, what's funny. I can do it now as Kayla Lords. Like if I went someplace, I'd do it at Eroticon. I can stand there because I'm there as Kayla Lords.
Right.
And somebody is most likely either somebody I know really well on Twitter, so of course I want to talk to them, or they're asking me questions. And if you're there to ask me questions, I could talk all day. Y'all have clearly figured this out. And it's easier. But back in the day, oh my God, no, just skip that room altogether. Just don't even walk in that room and go to, you know. But it is, it's hard when you want to go to those things, but you know what your limitations are and you know what can hold you back and you know what can ruin it for you so that you want to be there, but then social anxiety creeps in or something else, claustrophobia creeps in. Oh, we were at the club one night. We were fine while we played, and then we were down in the social area because it was an upstairs-downstairs situation, and the crush of people, he had to get me out of there. I almost had a panic attack. I started feeling claustrophobic. People were too close to me. And there was not enough space to breathe. And it was getting warmer and warmer and warmer. I was like, get me the fuck out of here. I can't handle those. And he did.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do have to know yourself, too. But I would love to go to Florida Power Exchange. I would. And clearly, we're probably not going to talk about it just yet because we haven't decided anything. But we got a really good idea from Master Talent and Just Kathy about something we could do that's a contest kind of thing.
Yes.
We're not going to talk about it clearly. We will when we're ready. Because we haven't even decided if we're going to do it.
I emailed you the information.
I know, but there's no information.
Oh, there isn't?
No.
Oh, okay.
You emailed me a link. No.
Okay.
That's okay. Well, but yeah, if we decide to do it, we will totally let you know. Mm-hmm. So, sorry to... That was kind of a tease.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're definitely rambling now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably should let these good folks go about their night or day.
I know. I know. And somebody mentioned in the live chat about going to a kink fest in Oregon, and it made me think of a friend of mine in the UK who organizes something called Kink Fest. Amy of Coffee and Kink.
Yes, Coffee and Kink.
And I think it's not in London, it's in Birmingham. I'm probably saying that wrong because I am not British.
Yeah. It's outside London.
It's outside. It's not in London.
No.
And it's something that I'm like, oh, that would probably be fun to go to as well. If I ever had the opportunity, I know this is like once the kids are grown and like in college or out of the house or whatever, I would be the person who traveled around the country and the world going to kink events, speaking or just participating or just witnessing or just whatever. Like, I would do that. I would totally do that. 10 more years. For right now, I'm going to sit in front of a dusty fireplace and scratch my nose all night while I rant. Because that's what I'm going to do.
All right.
Okay. I think we're probably as good as we're going to get.
All right.
Folks, I feel better than we were last week, though.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm back in my groove.
Yeah.
My unrhythmic groove for anybody watching the video. That was pretty sad. Yeah, that's how I dance. Sorry, podcast listeners. You missed that one.
Anyway, thank you, everybody. It's been wonderful.
We love you guys.
We love you.
I'm clearly in a space, mental space right now. And we still have another video to go record.
So glad, you know, all you folks on live stream joined us. It's been wonderful having you here with us tonight.
Always nice to have podcast listeners. I think we're gaining some listeners. I'm getting a lot of messages from people who are like, I just found your podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yay. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah.
If you are on YouTube, you want to know how you help us out, give us a thumbs up when you like a video. That really, really does help. And if you're a podcast listener, I only want the positive reviews. You don't have to tell them that I talk too damn much. It's okay. They'll figure it out. But if you have something nice to say on a podcast app, please feel free to leave a review. And YouTube, we love the thumbs up.
Yeah.
And if you have not subscribed to us on YouTube,
subscribe.
Subscribe and hit the notification bell. Okay, we're going to go, right?
Because
we still have another video.
Yes.
We love you guys.
We love you. Thank you.
Bye.